say Shabbat Shalom as always.
Shabbat Shalom.
It's a beautiful day, really beautiful. Winds are whipping. It's really coming through that breezeway. Today, I know, is the last Sabbath of the month. Not the first Sabbath of the month, but we are going to have discussion time today rather than next week. I have two reasons for that. One is I have decided that, first of all, we're kind of short on attendance today, so that's one thing. Secondarily, I'm getting ready to start that new series, and I didn't want to start it today and then have a break and have discussion week, and then this, because it's going to be probably at least three messages. And so this way I can, more people will be here. Like I say, we have some folks gone, and then also I can have those messages consecutive, and hopefully it will flow a little better. As you know, discussion week is time for you guys to run your mouth about things instead of just listening to me all the time. But today, I would like to propose a topic. And by this slide, it's kind of obvious what it is. I just had a thought. I was doing the recordings, and the last few times, I don't know why this hat got sat up here, but it looks like there's hardly, you can't tell what that says in the video. Have you guys noticed what it is? It's a Harley Davidson emblem, but it says Jesus Christ, Heavenly Devoted Son, instead of Harley Davidson. Anyway, they can't see that, so I thought, well, maybe I'll, anyway, whatever. Passover Cedar? We had our Passover service this year, just like we have in the past. I thought it was a great service. I left very inspired and very encouraged. And you know what? There's just kind of there's a special kind of clean that you have on Passover evening. And it's kind of cool. But this year, it was brought up ahead of time that we forego that service. And we go to another group and have a traditional Passover Seder service instead. And the idea was brought forth out of a real genuineness, I mean, of wanting to really expand our thinking, expand our engagement of the holy days, an effort to enrich them by what else might be available and to try to kind of expand our thinking. And so I was open, but as I thought about it, I declined to change the way that we do the service. However, I did think that it might be cool to experience that, to engage in that activity during the Passover day. I mean, we have our Passover service at night, the same time that Yeshua had it. But then Passover day, the first day of unleavened bread, is a holy day. And I thought, well, that might be a cool activity to do. And given also the fact of the things that we were able to see there, I thought would be a good way to spend the day. Having said that, I do not want there to be any remote amount of confusion about my personal perspective on the Passover Seder tradition. Okay? So I want to give my thoughts around that this morning and then open it up for discussion. And then after that discussion, I mean, this is kind of just one point for our discussion today. If you guys have something else, hopefully we'll have time for that as well. But let me start by saying that it is not my intention whatsoever, unless God would undo what He has shown me thus far, it's not my intention to engage in the Judaism practice of a Seder meal as a way to celebrate commemorate or observe the Passover. And I believe I can express that, the reasons for that, very quickly, and then again open it up to allow anyone to point out any errors in this evaluation. First of all, there is a difference between Hebrew roots and Judaism. And I believe that there's in the effort, right, to engage in the Hebrew roots movement, there is this overflow, this blending. It's a huge movement right now. The Hebrew roots movement is growing very strong. And many of the proponents of that are full Torah-keeping people. And we know that that's not possible. So much of the Torah concerns things of the physical temple. It concerns things of running a government, running a nation, that we have it here spiritually, but a lot of those things were the physical rules and regulations of governing a physical nation. That is, we are citizens physically of other nations, wherever you might live around the world. And so there are laws. There's part of those laws we can't keep if we wanted to. There's no temple. We have to obey the laws of the nations that we're in. And we understand that it is the royal law that Yeshua said that there was not one jot or one tittle would pass from. It's that royal law, His law, that He wrote with jots and tittles that He said He would write on our hearts. So we keep the Sabbath. People think that we might be Torah keepers in that sense and align with that because we keep the Sabbath and the holy days. But why do we keep the Sabbath and the holy days, people? We keep it because it's part of the royal law. It's one of the commandments, okay? And the holy days are Sabbaths. That is why we do it. We don't engage in this idea of full-on Torah keeping as binding under the new covenant. Now, that does not mean, and I have said this before, that there is not a tremendous amount of wisdom in that Torah. I'm not saying cast it out. There is wisdom in there, and I'm saying that we would do well to engage in as much of that as possible. Why? Because it's wise. It's wisdom, right? So we could pay more attention to it in this body. But that perspective makes us different than many of the Hebrew roots organizations out there, okay? Our focus is to replicate the early church. And we know that that early church was not just Jewish converts, but it was Gentile converts as well. And those Jewish converts and those Gentile converts, we see in the scriptures, they held fast to the royal law. And many around the world are understanding the Sabbath today, and by connection, the holy days. And that's great. It's the appointed times of God, and there's a refreshing. The winds of the Holy Spirit are blowing and opening this up. There's a lot of people that are waking up to the paganism that is embedded within the mainstream Christian faith and those doctrines. It's an awakening. But in that, there is this tendency to not discern the difference between the Christian roots of Hebrew Israelites on one hand and the traditions of a religion known as Judaism. And there is no desire on my part to engage in the traditions of Judaism, especially if they would overshadow, conflict, water down, whatever, what Christ has shown us. Judaism is not my religion. It is not my belief system. Understand this. That belief system, that religion, denies the deity and messiahship of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. And it takes study, people, both biblically and historically, to rightly divide between what God delivered to Israel, His nation, the Hebrew nation of Israel, to divide those things from the tenets and traditions of Judaism. Judaism is a religion. It is governed by the decrees and traditions of ancient rabbis. Now, granted, and I'm trying to have some balance here, those rabbis came up with those things in order to try to observe the Torah. They were trying to magnify the Torah. They were trying to give instruction on how to do that. But make no mistake, they are man's interpretation of how to do those things. And in doing that, they were essentially additions to the law that God gave to Israel. And that is something, people, that God told them not to do. Remember, Israel, the Hebrew Israelites, did a lot of things that God told them not to do. They are there for an example to us a lot of times in what not to do. And by adding these things, they were disobeying God. In Deuteronomy 12, it says, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it." It says the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says the same thing in Proverbs, can't remember the chapter, and even in Revelation chapter 22. It said, don't add to or take away from what I have given. And within Judaism, folks, there is a lot that they have added to the Torah. And so in thinking about the difference between Hebrew roots and Judaism, understand this point. Number two, the nation of Israel is not synonymous with Judaism. What do I mean by that? They're not necessarily one and the same. Okay, God gave all of this to His nation. Out of that nation rose up this religion of Judaism that went out from it. They're not totally synonymous. When you say Judaism, you're not saying Hebrew roots. They're different. It's actually a little easier to think in terms of what God gave Israel, His nation, the Hebrew nation. That's our roots. That's the roots that we want to understand. That's the people that He gave the holy days to. That's the people that He restored the knowledge of the Sabbath to. That's the people that He called out to be an example to the other nations around them, the Hebrew people. And then within that group are the people that expanded upon that and created what we see today, and even at the time of Yeshua, as Judaism, with all those additions and such that goes along with it. And that was fully in place when Yeshua walked this earth, and He dealt with it. Then this is where much confusion begins to reign. We all know that Yeshua came against many of those Jewish, if you want to say, teachings. He didn't, for example, he didn't ceremoniously wash his hands before eating. Okay? Many Christians see those things that he dealt with in that way as him also saying that the law was done away. That's because they don't perceive the difference between the things that were added that he didn't support and him saying unequivocally, not one jot or one tittle will by any means pass from my law. The law that he wrote with jots and tittles. All this other stuff, he, not me, Yeshua, your Messiah, your Lord and Savior and God, said that these things were their traditions. And speaking directly to the followers of Judaism, he had this exchange. They came to him and they said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered them and said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Clearly, Yeshua was not interested in the tradition of the elders. And he didn't adhere to them. In fact, in one place, he said, "Albeit in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the traditions of men." I'm telling you, that applies just as equally to Judaism as it does to the pagan practices that the Gentiles were bringing in. Traditions of men, okay? So here, rather, what he did was he upheld the royal law. He's talking about adultery here, because their tradition, what had been written by the ancient rabbis in trying to expand upon the Torah and do what they was told not to do, they were giving certificates of divorce for their wives when they just, you know, anytime they wanted to just go have another one, right? And so, in effect, they were committing adultery. They were transgressing the commandment of God because of their tradition. And so Yeshua understood the division between what was given to Israel as God's law and what had become of it, basically, through this religion of Judaism and the things which were added. Brings me to my next point, number three. The Mishnah and the Talmud are not part of God's royal law. They are not part of the Torah. They are not. In Judaism, there is what was called the oral law, also known as the Mishnah. Now later, that oral law was finally written down, and along with a multitude of other writings from different rabbis, what is known as the Talmud was canonized. Okay, and the Talmud stands in Judaism as basically the instruction book, if you will, or the rule book, whatever, I don't know how you want to say it. Basically, how to practice the religion of Judaism. And I'll make my own mistake. Yeshua did not adhere to that body of instruction. In fact, he blatantly disobeyed them on multiple occasions, as revealed to us in the Gospels. There was then, and there still is today, many Jewish people, many people that came out of the Hebrew nation of Israel that do not accept the Talmud, that do not accept the Mishnah, and they only recognize the Torah itself as God said. Why would he say, don't add to or take away from this law, and then at the same time he's saying that, supposedly giving Moses another one orally? It does not make sense. And to many, many, many Jews, millions of them around this world, they're called Karaite Jews, do not believe that either. So understanding this distinction between the Torah commands and the Talmudic commands of Judaism is essential in understanding many New Testament scriptures. The misunderstandings have led many to teach that Yeshua was doing away with the law because they had lumped this together with the law. And quite the contrary, he established the law. He magnified the law while at the same time discounting and ignoring the Mishnah and the Talmud. And you can see that if you put those things in with the Torah itself, how you can get many, many scriptures just kind of very confusing. Okay. But the subject today at hand is the Passover Seder tradition. Where did it come from? So the question becomes, is it part then of the revelation of God to the Hebrew nation of Israel, or is it something added to it by ancient rabbis in the Mishnah or Talmud as a tenet of the religion of Judaism? And I think you already know the answer and where I am going with this. The Passover Seder was part of the oral law, was part of the Mishnah, and then it was added to the Talmud. The elements of the Passover Seder were put there by ancient rabbis. It is not something revealed to Israel in the Torah, in that sense of a Seder meal, a Seder plate, the rituals and the sayings and everything that went along with that. So number five, Yeshua did follow the Talmud and therefore likely did not follow the tradition of the Seder meal as outlined by it. I went back and forth whether or not to put in or take out that word likely. I was not there. I doubt, I would say it's a 99 point something percent chance he did not do a Seder. Why? Because he never demonstrated any time that he was following any of that Talmud. And the only thing he ever demonstrated was that he was not. So I'm sure he didn't celebrate it. And the other thing that is points to that is if you were following the Talmud and you were doing the Seder meal, he wouldn't have done it on the flowing from the 13th into the 14th on the 14th day at the beginning. In Judaism, in the Talmud, it's done the next evening. So he was not following it, or he would not have had it at the beginning of the Passover day. Okay? He did observe the Passover. He did eat a meal with his disciples. They ask him, I mean, it's in multiple verses. I did. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, that's interesting. Oh, we never noticed that before. On the first day of unleavened bread, the same day they killed the Passover lamb. Anyway, he said, where do you want us to go to prepare that you may eat the Passover? See, eating the Passover is in the Torah. The Seder is not. Okay? Luke 22, he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. Yes, they had a meal. Even when we read in John, he says, and supper being ended, then he took the cup and he did all of these things, right? So yes, they did. They had a meal. But he followed the Torah, not the Talmud. So he had a lamb. They likely had bitter herbs. And just like many of the Karaite Jews today, that's what they do. They might have even stood with the staff in their hand and their belt on their waist and their sandals on their feet. Okay? They follow the Torah. There's no cedar plate. Seder. I keep saying cedar. Seder. It's not a tree. Cedar. Anyway. There was no wine. You know, the Karaites will not have anything fermented on Passover. Remember how we talked Passover night, and I've brought it up many times, about how unusual that was, that Yeshua would present that cup of wine and say, this is my blood. Okay? They were not allowed to drink blood. I think, and I think that it was shocking to them to begin with that Yeshua presented this wine. What's this wine doing here? Okay? So, anyway, that's, I only kind of bring that up because that's how the Karaites do it today. Do the Karaites do it right today? I don't know. But I think it was a really big deal that there was wine there. And even if it wasn't a big deal that the fruit of the vine was there, then him telling them to that it's a symbol of blood and to drink it was a big deal. It's a big change. You understand that? Okay. They had a Passover meal, but it was not a Seder. And certainly not like what was set forth in Judaism. What we experienced out there was an invention, guys, of an ancient rabbi. Is there anything wrong with it? Not at all. Okay, whoever came up with that was undoubtedly trying to institute something that would help him and his family and others that would follow it come alongside the Torah teaching to make sure that you remember Passover, that you teach it to your children. And isn't that what we saw? You know, the kids asking the question and Papa answering it and answer another question and Papa answering it and then having him go look out the door. And, you know, he had these things on the plate and was able to talk about that. It was a teaching opportunity. Okay. And is it bad? No. Okay. But do you really in your mind think that those disciples were asking those questions and then Yeshua as Papa was answering them, and that he maybe had somebody, one of the disciples, get up and go to the door and look out to see if whoever was coming? Do you really think that that's what happened? Do you really believe that you're reenacting what Yeshua did with his disciples that night? No. No. When you're doing a Passover Seder, you are following an ancient rabbi. You are engaging in the Passover in the way that rabbi said, hey, this is how we should do it, and this will teach our children, okay? And I'm going to say this to you. I have a rabbi, and his name is Yeshua. And he came and he stripped himself of his divinity and he came here and he gave us an example of how to celebrate the Passover. And I am not going to take that example and use an example from another rabbi, a man, in another religion, and have it replace what Yeshua clearly instructed us to do on that night. I want to follow the rabbi that is my Messiah, the one who came, God in the flesh, the creator of this world, the creator of me, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. That is my rabbi. And I make no excuses for following his lead over a long since dead rabbi from another religion. We don't need the instructions from those old rabbis when we have Yeshua that modeled for us what to do. Yeshua, our rabbi, number 6, gave instructions on how to keep the Passover, given that he is the new and final Passover lamb. That is a change. That was something that was a complete mind-altering thing, right? They ate lamb that night with bitter herbs, I'm sure, because Yeshua had not been sacrificed yet. So, in keeping with the law, which he did, he had a Passover meal. He didn't have a Passover Seder, he had a Passover meal. But then he gave instructions. The whole night was about him changing the focus of the Passover. It changed because Yeshua changed it. He fulfilled it and commanded us to remember him going forward as the Passover lamb. We are too, as we just saw, on the last day of unleavened bread a couple days ago. We're to go forward. No longer is the focus on Israel escaping the death angel and fleeing Egypt and all these things that they were trying to teach their children through the Seder, but rather the spiritual focus of having the true Lamb of God that allows us to escape the eternal death, the spiritual death, from being able to get out of the spiritual Egypt of sin, okay? That is what we understand the true fulfilled meaning of Passover to be. And so what I see in the Hebrew Roots movement is them trying to take the Seder tradition and put Christ in it. That's what we did. That was a Christianized Seder that we participated in. But why do that? There's nothing biblical about it. In fact, Yeshua rejected the Talmudic traditions of Judaism, so why try to bring them into a Christian Passover? In contrast, he laid out for us exactly what to do. He gave us the new covenant symbols of the bread and wine. He washed his disciples' feet, and he commanded us to do the same thing. Why would we trade the example of our rabbi, the Lord Yeshua, our God, and the instructions that he gave us personally for a Seder tradition of another religious faith that doesn't even recognize Yeshua as the Messiah? I think the answer is clear. And the conclusion of the matter to me then is this. We should follow the example of Yeshua, not the Talmud. That is the reason why I refused to do the Seder meal, why we were observing this and celebrating the Passover service. Because I said it before, it was likely Yeshua saw this Passover as a commencement. And I'm not alone in that assessment. He kept a Torah-based, not Talmudic-based, Passover with his disciples. Yes, he did, and he had a meal. But it was a commencement, and I think of it in terms of kind of there's kind of a duality there when you think about it. He in Hebrew tradition, they had they had this idea of disciples and a rabbi and a teacher, and after a period of time of teaching, when the rabbi was convinced that, hey, you've learned what I have for you, they would have a meal together, and it would be a commencement. You're graduating, you're moving on, okay? And so that's kind of, now he did it on Passover. So that's why I think there was a duality to that, because in the same way, there was a commencement. There was a moving on from the old, from killing this lamb every year to, hey, here's the blood, here's the body, it is me, I am the Lamb of God. You see, there's this gigantic commencement, there's this end of the old and moving into the reality of the spiritual. So there was this commencement. And so what are we to grab onto? We want to go forward. So listen, while experiencing the Seder was interesting, and I'm not unhappy that we went. I thought it was interesting from a historical point of view, and it is part of the history and tradition of some of our Hebrew brothers and sisters, but at the same time, I don't see that it has much value, especially in place of the New Covenant Passover service. Now, if I'm wrong, I can change. I've changed many, many things over the years. But the elements of the Seder plate, of children asking repetitive questions and Papa giving, set answers and all this, it was not indicative of what Yeshua was doing with his with his disciples on that night. We're not reenacting what they did that night by engaging in that. We don't need the musings of an ancient rabbi and his thoughts on how to teach his children to distract us from the deep truths that are revealed by Yeshua on that night and the instructions that he gave us on how to move forward. Our rabbi is Yeshua. It is his example we are to follow. And those instructions are not in the pages of the Talmud. They are in the pages of our Bibles. That's where I stand. Let's circle up and let me have your thoughts.